Things That Matter podcast. I'm your host, John Harris, here with a special guest who has been on the podcast before, but who has so much more to tell us after, I think, a few years, actually. I think maybe the last time was 2 or 3 years ago he was on, and that is my friend, Trevor Loudon, who you can find out more about if you go to trevorloudon.com, purchase his books there. He has great research also at KeyWiki.org, KeyWiki.org. And incredible resource of information there on people's communist ties, people who you wouldn't think they're communists and they have all sorts of connections. So, Trevor, thanks for being with us once again. Last time we talked, it was a different world. And that was only, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. What's changed? I mean, the conservative movement is fracturing. It feels dystopian.
Conservative and the Reagan era, it was very easy to identify what a conservative was. You know, you were anti-communist, you stood against the Soviet bloc, you supported our allies, you supported Israel, you believed in the Constitution, you believed in the Christian foundations of America, and you supported sound education, government out of the economy as much as possible, etc. It was pretty... There wasn't a lot of debate on what constituted a conservative today, but now you have the movement split several ways over issues like Israel, the role of the economy, populism, the role of the Constitution, Dugin, Yavin, all sorts of things. So the Ukraine war is another one. So yeah, the movement is fracturing, which does not bode well. But, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on why this is happening.
You know this probably about me, that I'm somewhat of a paleo con. I have some Southern conservative sympathies, and I don't see us as an economic zone. I don't see the United States as a proposition where anyone with any culture and any religion can just come and be an American on day one because they passed the test or their feet touched the American soil. And it's funny to me, I feel like I'm going through a bit of an audience replacement, but not hugely. There's a lot of people who follow me are still following me, and I have a pretty loyal audience. But there's definitely some people on the edges of the audience who have accused me of all kinds of things. And in fact, this morning I was accused of being a Groiper. And then I was also accused, and this was more of the accusations, of being a William F. Buckley neocon. And I'm just like sitting here, you know, what in the world is going on? And as we record this, of course, the TPUSA speeches were last night. I said something nice about Ben Shapiro because I said he was brave, which I think he was. I said something negative about Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson was going to bat for Muslims in America. Like, we should all get along based on some shared decency. And I'm like, this seems like common sense to me. It seems like what Candace Owens has been doing is crazy at this point. But I'm hitting a wall with some people that just, like, they see her as a truth teller. And that I just must believe the FBI narrative or something. Even though at this stage in the case, all we have is a suspect. And it's also being tried in the state court. Of course, Utah, I'm told, is they're... They're neocons. The governor is a neocon. You can't trust. So I can't trust anything. It's like no information is trustworthy except this woman over here who's just asking questions. And I don't know where this comes from exactly. I've tried to approach this. You've been paying attention for longer than me. What is this?
This is a long-term Russian psyop to divide and destroy the American conservative movement. And it operates through multiple strands. There's also Qatari elements to this, other bad actors, the Iranians are involved, but primarily this is the Russians stoking divisions in the conservative movement through people like Alexander Dugin, Curtis Yarvin. That's ultimately what it is. And nobody's pointing the finger right there, but it's all roads lead back to Moscow on this operation.
This is news to me. I know your research was really good for enemies within the church.
Well, it's news to most people. We're all looking, what is happening to the right? Why is all this happening? Why are we splitting all these different ways? And nobody's focusing on what it obviously is. And every strand goes back. You know, who was the biggest enemy geopolitically of Moscow, whether it's under Putin or Brezhnev or Gorbachev? It is the US conservative movement. And it was always the main target. You know, Ronald Reagan's conservative coalition is the number one enemy of Moscow. And so if you want to take down America and its place in the world, if you want to marginalize Israel and make Israel more easily conquerable, you have to split that coalition, the MAGA coalition, the conservative coalition. You have to divide all these areas into these neocon, anti-neocon, pro-Israel, anti-Israel, woke right, conservative right, you know, pro-Ukraine, anti-Ukraine, pro-Candace, pro-Tucker, anti-Candace, anti-Tucker. All of these divisions can be traced back to Russian psyops. I can name the websites that are coming through. I can name the themes that are done, but that's where it's coming from.
Well, if you could do that, that would be helpful, because I don't know of any direct connections and I haven't researched it with someone like a Candace Owens, whether she's being paid by Russia or given information by Russia. How would that work exactly?
Well, she is certainly, I don't know if she's paid by Russia, but she is certainly amplifying Russian propaganda themes. You know, who was the first person that said that that Netanyahu killed Charlie Kirk? It came out of Gray Zone, a pro-Russian website. First ones, and Candace picks it up, others pick it up. It's very easy to see. A lot of these people are not paid by the Russians, but what they are doing, the Russians amplify their websites. They have thousands and thousands and thousands of bots who then go to these X sites and amplify their traffic into the millions. You know, Nick Fuentes is a classic example of this. The young head of the American Communist Party, Jackson Hinkle. These people are nothing until they get a whole bunch of traffic directed through Russian bots. It was recently X, for a couple of hours, enabled a function where you could see where the account you were looking at were actually originated from. And for a few hours, you could see that many of these so-called American sites were coming from Russia and Bulgaria. I'll give you another example of how this works. There's a big independence movement in Scotland, right? The Scottish independence movement. There's a lot of X sites all about this. Well, when America attacked Iran and blew up their nuclear facilities, and everything went out in Iran for a few hours, power was out, whatever, all these pro-Scottish independence websites went down. All these X-file, X accounts went down because they were coming out of Iran. So why would the Iranians be promoting Scottish independence? Because Iran is a client state of Russia, and Russia wants to destroy, divide the United Kingdom, because the most important submarine base in the entire North Sea is situated in Scotland. And if you could take Scotland out of the UK, you take Scotland out of NATO, and NATO loses the most important submarine base in the North Sea. There's more to it than that, but this is the kind of strategic thing that is happening. And a united American conservative movement based on the Constitution, based on you know, traditional American values, is the number one impediment to Russian expansionism, Chinese expansionism, Iranian expansionism, and Islamic expansionism. So what would you want to do? Would you not want to divide the US right?
Well, I think if you study the Cold War, this is not anything that would shock anyone if it were true, because during that time, hindsight's 2020, we have historians who have been able to go back and check the records in both Moscow and the United States and find out all these crazy connections. And they were behind social crusades to divide America up, to destabilize But our enemies have always done that, right? And they see factors, especially like race, as good fracture points to try to set us against each other more so than we already are. So I wouldn't be surprised with that continuing. I guess the hang-up I have, and it, number one, the Democrats used Russia so much against Donald Trump and said, similar to what you're saying, that that mechanism got Donald Trump elected in 2016. And then I also see Israel as another actor on the foreign stage who also has a lot of influence. And then, of course, that's gotten a lot of attention lately. And so I wonder whether, you know, Qatar, Israel, Russia, all these play China, they're just all have their hand in the pot. They're all trying to persuade America to do something for them or not do something to them. And what about Americans just making their own decisions? Don't we also do that? Do we associate too much with foreign influence?
Look, if Americans understood the amount of foreign influence in the country, they'd tear their hair out. Look, you know, the Chinese gave us Obama. They gave us Kamala Harris. They gave us Tim Walz. And they gave us Joe Biden, you know. But before Joe Biden worked for the Chinese, he worked for the Russians and the Iranians. The foreigners have been infiltrating our politics for decades. The Cubans have about 40 U.S. congressmen in their pocket and have had for decades. That's the Cubans, right? The Congressional Progressive Black Caucus was set up with help from Cuba and has run as an agency for Cuba since the early 90s. So there is massive foreign infiltration. The Chinese have played major roles in the last several U.S. elections, but they've been interfering. They were behind Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition of the 1980s. That became the Obama Coalition. That became the Harris-Waltz Coalition. That's a Chinese operation. Black Lives Matter was a Chinese operation. You know, there is the Chinese have several through their local American communist parties have big voter registration networks in every key swing state. They claim credit for flipping the election for Biden-Harris. I'll give you an example. Look, in Virginia was a really, really red state, right? Then it went purple in 2008, and then it went purple again, now it's blue. Well, in 2007, a pro-Chinese communist party called the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, who later started Black Lives Matter, set up a voter registration organization in Northern Virginia called New Virginia Majority. And they went out and signed up 300,000 minority voters effectively for the Democrats, even though they were supposedly nonpartisan. And they flipped the state for Biden, for Obama. That's what they say in their own publications. Now, the reason they're so efficient, they signed up 300,000 minority voters. Then they prevailed on Terry McAuliffe, the then governor of Virginia, to pardon, to give voting rights back to 200,000 Virginia felons. That was against the state constitution, so he personally signed 200,000 pardons. And he was given an award for doing that at the fundraising dinner of New Virginia Majority. But anyway, the reason they're so successful, they were using GIS computerized maps. They had every single precinct in Virginia mapped out. They could tell you all of the voting patterns, where the minorities lived particularly, so they could send Iranian volunteers into Iranian neighborhoods, Puerto Rican volunteers into Puerto Rican neighborhoods. Those maps were generated on contract by Freedom Road Socialist Organization, Marxist-Leninist, called Steve McClure, a graduate of the George Mason University Geography Department, who is making those maps and still is to this day working out of the Geography Department of Wuhan University, China. So the Chinese are influencing our elections at a micro level with straight out voter registration in about 10 states right now: Nevada, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Texas, North Carolina, and a couple of others. So forget this idea that we're just starting to get a little bit of foreign involvement in our system. It's been going on for decades.
I want to get back to Russia. Let's do that next. And then I do want to talk about Qatar and Israel as well, and whatever research you've done on those countries.
Well, okay, Russia. About 1995, a couple of Russian sociologists, I just can't remember their names, from Moscow University, started to formulate the idea of courting the American conservative and Christian movements, Europe as well, but mainly America. And from that point, the Russians started to hold family values conferences in Georgia, in Hungary, in Russia itself. And they would invite all these American social conservatives over to Russia, and they'll tell them that Putin's a Christian. We're all about family values. We hate George Soros, and we're going to save you from the Muslim hordes and the gay radicals. And so they courted a lot of the very strong American Christian conservative groups. And our friend Judd Saul has seen this up front. He's been at meetings where the Russian Alexei Komov was coming to these big conservative meetings and telling everybody what a great lion of Christianity Putin was and all this kind of thing. At the same time, though, the Russian Patriarch of the Russian Patriarchate of the Orthodox Church realigned in 2007 with the Moscow Patriarch. The Russian Orthodox Church in America had broken with the Moscovites because they were controlled by the KGB. But they still are. But in 2007, they reunited, which is why partly explains why a lot of people, a lot of American Christians are going into Russian Orthodoxy, because it's seen as a very traditional faith, but it's now controlled by the KGB, which is why many of them, these paleocons, are adopting pro-Russian, pro-Putin positions. So that's one strand of it. Yeah, the Ron Paul movement, which has been increasingly aligned with the Russians over the last 20 years. Ron Paul is very much a protege, a friend of Denis Kucinich, the former congressman from Ohio, is deeply in bed with the Communist Party in Ohio and is deeply in bed with the Russians, one of Russians' main apologists. He is the one who took Tulsi Gabbard to meet in Syria in 2016 with Bashar al-Assad, the pro-Russian dictator of Syria. So she's part of the strand as well. And at the same, then you had this going on. You've had QAnon when that came out, that increasingly adopted pro-Russian, anti-Semitic, pro-Russian memes. You know, they're always going on about the Khazarian mafia, the Rothschilds, the banking cartels, and all this kind of thing. All of this is designed to appeal to different segments of the US right. The anti-Semitic right, to amplify that, to turn the conservative movement against Israel. The playing on American isolationism to really stick it to NATO and stick it to Ukraine. Ukraine should be the natural ally of American conservatives, and most American conservatives are still pro-Ukraine, but there's a substantial minority that are not. But the big influence here is Alexander Dugin. Now, Dugin is a Russian philosopher, the son of a Russian military intelligence officer, an occultist in the 90s, a drug addict, who was recruited by the KGB to help formulate philosophies that would appeal to the right. He was also an advisor to Gennady Zyuganov, the head of the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, and helped to found what they call the National Bolshevik Movement, the NATBOLS. These are this sort of amalgamation of fascism and Stalinism that has inspired many of the mass shooters that we see in America. Branton Tarrant, the guy who blew up, shot up the mosque in my hometown, Christchurch, New Zealand, was a NATBOL. He was a pro-Russian NATBOL. The young man who shot up the El Paso Walmart had Nat Bowl symbology all over his room. Same with the young man who shot up the supermarket in Buffalo. These are Nat Bowls. These are pro-Russian national Bolsheviks. And so you've got all these strands. Then you've got the MAGA communists from Jackson Hinkle, who Tucker Carlson puts on his show all the time, who's a personal friend of Tulsi Gabbard's, who is now head of the American Communist Party and completely pro-Russia, pro-China, pro-Iran. So what you've got through a whole bunch of websites, through Grey Zone, through RT, through QAnon, through the Ron Paul movement, is an amplification of the divisive points in the American conservative movement, particularly using anti-Semitism to drive a wedge between American conservatives and Israel and give the Democrats a talking point to talk about the anti-Semitism in the conservative movement, and the so much Russian influence coming in, giving the Democrats an excuse for their own 60 years of Russian influence and Russian connections. They've been able to flip the narrative. You know, nobody's more pro-Russian than Hillary Clinton.
I want to know about the Democrats' narrative now in the 2016 election. They claimed at least two things: that the Russians were putting Trump over the edge through social media manipulation. And then, of course, there was the Russiagate, which we call a hoax now. Was there any merit to that first claim?
The Russians actually favored Hillary Clinton, but they also did promote, they promoted some of Trump's talking points as well. Hillary Clinton's always been their girl. You know, she gave them all this uranium. She helped to set up their so-called Silicon Valley. Bill Clinton was in bed with the Russians his entire life as well. And it was Bill Clinton, by the way, who forced Ukraine to give up all their nuclear weapons, their 1,200 nuclear weapons, back to Russia to set the stage for the current invasion by Putin. And Hillary Clinton, you know, what was the first job she had out of college? She worked for a law firm in San Francisco. Wasn't a progressive law firm or a liberal law firm. It was a Communist Party law firm when the communists were deeply openly allied with Russia at the time, with the Soviet Union at the time. So, but, okay, what do you do if you're a Democrat and you're constantly tarred with being a puppet of the Russians or the enemy? You try and become the patriotic party. You try and pin all that stuff on the Republicans. And at the same time, the Russians were deeply infiltrating the Republicans. So it's very easy now to see Russian connections into the Republican Party. And Paul Manafort, for instance, I wouldn't support Trump while Paul Manafort was his campaign manager, because Paul Manafort basically worked with the Russians in Ukraine to keep the Russians in power there before the Maidan revolution that kicked them out of power. So, yes, there were deep connections around Trump. There was Russian influence, but there was also deep Russian influence in the Democratic Party, and had been for 50 or 60 years. So it's not quite black and white, but if I'd have to say, if one party's more controlled by the Russians, it's the Democrats. And if it's the Chinese, you're talking about the Chinese, it's definitely the Chinese, definitely the Democrats.
So one of the things I think, real quickly, people would be surprised about is Ron Paul, because he's a libertarian. And you mentioned that movement had Russian connections, communist connections. Ron Paul would seem to be the opposite of a communist.
Well, he is, but he's not a communist. See, this is the thing, because a lot of these now people now think Russia is a Christian country now. So a lot of these people who are anti-communists, they love a good conversion story. They love a redemption story. So now Russia's saying, well, we're pro-Christianity and we're going to protect you from George Soros and the Muslim hordes and the radical gays. So let's go with Russia now. They're the savior of Christianity. Well, it's all basically garbage. You know, like, look, put it this way. You know, in Russia, 4 to 6% of people go to church. in Russia, you have to belong to the Orthodox Church to have any form of religious freedom. If you are a Baptist, if you're a Pentecostal, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you cannot proselytize outside your church, and you cannot bring your children into your church until you're eight, they're 18. If you're Orthodox, that's okay. You can participate, but the Orthodox Church is completely controlled by the KGB. It's an instrument of state power. Kirill, the Arch-Patriarch, is a known KGB officer. That's well documented, as are many of his bishops. So you get all these American Christians thinking that, you know, I'm going to move to Russia because, you know, my kids can grow up in a school and learn good Christian values. What was the tragic case of a recent man who went over there, took his wife and three little daughters over there, and they went to Russia because he wanted to get away from the wokeism here. And he said they offered to put him in the Russian army. And then they said, you can be a mechanic or you can write reports for us. And they put him straight on the front line in Ukraine. He's probably dead now. Who knows? Who knows? But this kind of scam. See, okay, here's the thing. Vladimir Putin talks about Christianity quite a lot. He held a convention, convened a convention. You can look this up online. It's still there. You can see all the videos. It was convened by the World Federation of Democratic Youth in Sochi, Russia in October 2017. He got 30,000 kids there from all over the world. They greeted him like a rock star. And he spoke to them at the end of that conference and said, the future is yours. Go for it. Well, these weren't 30,000 young Christian kids. These were 30,000 communist kids. The World Federation of Democratic Youth is an old Soviet front, which still exists. That was there. They were there to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution. He held another such conference in Moscow in 2023 and another one in 2022. So why would a Christian do this? I haven't seen him convene any large Christian conferences in the Donetsk now. The Donetsk Republic has Soviet iconography in its state coat of arms. They are ripping down churches. They're putting up, killing pastors. They're putting up statues of Lenin and Marx and Stalin in the occupied territories. And the Soviet army, the Russian army is now openly flying the red flag, and they are talking in Moscow now about the re-Sovietization of Russia. But you still have American Christians who haven't caught up to this yet, who still think somehow, and Ron Paul falls into this category, but he works with actual communists, actual real communists from the Party of Socialism and Liberation and others. He has pro-Russian people on his board and promotes Russian propaganda like you wouldn't believe, because he thinks Russia is a Christian country.
We have to move on. I will say this, though. I have been in some very traditional conservative settings, and I won't say who, but I've been in places where there's leaders who are saying very, very positive things about Russia, seemingly out of nowhere. And it has surprised me in the past, because I thought we were here because of America. And I understand wanting to partner with a country that is also seemingly Christian, but there is another level of association, and I have seen it with my own two eyes. I guess I'll ask you this last question. You said social media manipulation. You said there's the Russian narratives, essentially, that are being picked up by people in our country. I'm assuming Tucker Carlson is in that camp in your mind. Are there spies? Are there?
Well, look, Tucker Carlson says, I'm rooting for Russia. He says this on his show. He went and interviewed Alexander Dugin, who has openly called for civil war in America and the destruction of Europe and the elimination of the Ukrainian people. But he's openly calls for civil war in America by exacerbating the differences in America. What we're seeing in America now is applied Duginism. That's why we're seeing an increase in racial tensions and cultural tensions, etc. This is all from the Russian playbook. Tucker Carlson made him look like Grandpa Walton. There are some total softball questions. By the way, Grandpa Walton's real name was Will Geer, who was the Communist Party member who recruited Harry Hay, who founded the modern American gay movement, by the way. But he also interviewed Sergei Lavrov and gave him nothing but softball questions. And then he interviewed Putin himself and gave him nothing but softball questions. You know, now he's taken Qatari money and proselytizing for Qatar, as he did, you know, saying we should be friendly with the Muslims and all this. This shows that that man has no integrity. He will sell himself to the highest bidder.
I'd like to talk about Israel and Qatar with the time we have left. Depending on which country someone is focused on, it might sound like Russia or China or Qatar or Iran or Israel are just running the tables on us. They control so much. I mean, you mentioned Cuba earlier. Israel, I think, is getting more attention than any other country. Are you concerned at all about Israeli influence? If not, why not? Why is it all of a sudden a very big issue on the right?
Well, why is it a big issue on the right? Because Israel is the number one stumbling block for the Russian-Iranian conquest of the Middle East and the control of the Eastern Mediterranean and the Suez Canal and the energy fields of Saudi Arabia. That is why Israel has now been demonized on the right. That's all it is. And so there's always been this latent, little bit of anti-Semitism on the US right. It's been marginalized, but it's always been there. And this comes through the British Israelite ideology that is very common in the Ron Paul movement. It has come through being exaggerated by the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which was originally a Russian secret service forgery, then picked up and promoted by the Soviets in the Middle East and in this country, and also by the by QAnon and others. They started to really fan the flames of anti-Semitism in this country. So you would say, I would say that the real fanning of anti-Semitism and anti-Israel feeling in this country is probably about 5 years old. It wasn't a big feature before that, but it's 100% a Russian operation. And you can track it down. It's coming through the Nazi movement, which basically, you know, look, if you look at people like David Duke, Richard Spencer, the alt-right, those ex-Klanners and Nazis and that, they are all pro-Russia. Here's an example. You know, the Charlottesville rally of 2017, when there was carnage on the streets of Charlottesville. You had pro-Russian communists from the Party of Socialism Liberation and the Communist Party USA battling on the streets with pro-Russian white supremacists, you know, backed by Matt Hounbeck, David Duke, Richard Spencer. So you had the pro-Russian right battling the pro-Russian left on the streets of Charlottesville. And who got the blame for it? Republicans, conservatives, and Trump. That was a Russian operation to discredit the US right and stoke divisions in the US right. You know, David Duke went to Russia to meet Dugin. You know, Richard Spencer was pro-Dugin. Tucker Carlson's pro-Dugin. Nick Fuentes is pro-Dugin. And a whole bunch of people around that have tried to infiltrate the Trump administration are also pro-Dugin.
What about AIPAC? Because I keep hearing AIPAC owns all these congressmen, and you've talked about how China will, and the Muslim Brotherhood own congressmen in some of your books. Are you concerned at all about AIPAC? Should AIPAC register with FARA? I know if they did, a number of other foreign agencies like the Armenian National Committee, the Cuban American Foundation, the Order of Hibernians in Ireland. There's a bunch of these, but AIPAC is the biggest in our country. Is that a threat?
I wouldn't say AIPAC's the biggest lobby group, foreign lobby group in the country. I'd say the Committee of 100, which is Chinese, would be more powerful. I would say Cubans through the Congressional Black Caucus are more powerful, influence more congressmen. You know, if you look at, you know, I'm concerned about any foreign entity that is not registered and is not transparent. But Israel is their ally. Israel has provided massive amounts of intelligence to this country and saved us from multiple terrorist attacks and is a stabilizing force in the Middle East. So, yeah, I'm concerned that, you know, but you had incidents like Jonathan Pollard, who gave American secrets, an American Jewish guy who gave American military secrets to the Israelis and got 33 years jail for it. You know, that was wrong, what he did there. But look, of all the foreign influences in this country, AIPAC is bottom of my list for concern. And it is, the influence is massively exaggerated. They have nowhere near the influence the Chinese do. Well, put it this way, why does China get most favored trade status? Why does China get pretty much everything it likes? Why can China give us COVID, stir up Black Lives Matter, wreck our cities and steal our elections with no consequences and still get favored trade deals? And yet Israel is struggling right now to keep its influence in America. Israel has been told by President Trump, don't go after Hamas, don't finish off the Iranian military. You know, who's got more influence, China, actual real influence, China or AIPAC? I would say AIPAC would be fifth, sixth. I'd say they're behind the Cubans, probably behind the North Koreans, because the North Koreans have several of our congressmen in their pockets too. Quite a few of them. There's a move right now to run by about 15 Democrats to formally end the Korean War. Say, well, that makes sense. It was over 60 years ago, whatever. Well, if you formally end the Korean War, then North Korea can start to trade with the West and the pressure comes on to withdraw American troops from South Korea, paving the way for an invasion of North Korea by the North. And there's about 15 congressmen in their pocket. So AIPAC, yeah, I'm concerned about all foreign influence, absolutely. But on the list of priorities, AIPAC is way, way, way down behind all of the evil acts. Look, there's way more senators and congressmen who work with NIAC, the National Iranian Action Committee, which is the mouthpiece for the mullahs. There's way more of them than there are people that I think are really in the pocket of AIPAC.
Let me ask you about Qatar, or Qatar. Now I'm hearing you have to pronounce it Qatar. I was looking this up the other day just to figure out what was going on. And with a few brief keystrokes, I was able to find out that Pam Bondi and Lindsey Graham had deep Qatar associations, that they've given more money from a foreign government to our educational system than any other country. They are the top donors to various social media, Hollywood and conservative media efforts, including being the top donor, foreign donor to X, which I don't know if that's extremely significant, but it is interesting. How much of an influence do they have, especially on the right?
Yeah, look, this is the key difference. See, I talked about anti-Semitism, right? And people were very worried about Qatar, as they should be. The anti-Semitism on both the left and the right is driven by the Russians. You know, they're openly anti-Semitic, openly anti-Israel. Qatar's role, and Qatar is the center of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood was set up with the help of the Egyptian Communist Party and has always been a communist operation, right? Just like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations here in America, works extensively with the communists. The head of CARE was a communist before he became an Islamist. That's Nihad Awad. But so Qatar's role is to neutralize the American right against Islam, to snow job, you know, we got to work with the Muslims, we got to accept Islam, they're conservatives like us. So their job isn't to spread hatred against Israel. their job is to neutralize the American right against Islam, which is why many of our former conservatives who would have pointed out Islamic connections to things are now much softer on Islam. And it's why Tucker Carlson, who wants to get a house in Qatar and takes money from Qatar, goes to Turning Point USA and say, no, we should reach out to Muslims. We shouldn't be, it's bad to be anti-Islamic, you know? So that's their role. This is a division of labor. Qatar's role is to neutralize the American right in their opposition to Islam, neutralize the Robert Spencers, to neutralize, you know, the Pam Gellers, to neutralize Rare Foundation, any organization that very rightly stands against the Islamization of America and the deep penetration of our system by the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE and ISNA and ICTA and these things. That's their role. Their role isn't to spread blatant anti-Semitism. That would confuse things. The Russians do the anti-Semitism, anti-Israel stuff. They are doing a snow job for Islam, basically.
I don't want to oversimplify this, so you can tell me if I get any of this wrong, but I do want to make it understandable. It seems to me that during the Cold War era, the United States was looking for an ally in the Middle Eastern region. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that the British were pulling out of all these countries, these oil nations. And the United States did fill the void on much of this. For example, in Iran, you know this, but we became more involved with them as the British pulled out. Even the largest naval battle after World War II was fought between us and the Iranian Navy, and was over oil. And Israel, because of the fact that they are more Western friendly, they are a democracy, they do have liberal values for the most part, and they do need someone to help them survive against these powerful enemies, it became a connection. And there was a moral, I think, connection there too, with feeling sympathy because of the Holocaust, because of a large Christian population that valued the biblical stories and traveled there. So this forms, and now that we are 50, 60, 70 years into, you know, after this arrangement, some of the same dynamics are still at play. It sounds to me like what you're saying is the Russians still have their eye on controlling that region. Israel's still an inhibitor. Qatar has a separate interest, and so do the United Arab Emirates and the Arabians. They don't like Iran, but they also want control. And so this Middle Eastern region, which has so much oil, it sounds to me like a lot of it, maybe the Chinese not being part of this, but these other forces are focused on that.
This is geopolitical, you know. Look, that is a very strategic region. Okay, it's very oil rich. The Suez Canal, the gateway to the Russians want a warm water port in the Mediterranean. All of that plays in. See, when Israel was founded, the Russians were heavily involved. The Soviets wanted to make Israel the socialist bastion of the, you know, of that area. And the Soviets did a big amount of the work in pushing the British and the French out of the Middle East. They backed these Jewish terrorist groups. They did this. But Israel did an about face. In 1948, they said, to hell with Moscow. We're going to go with the West now. And the Soviets have never forgiven them since. That's why the Soviets set up the Palestine Liberation Organization. That's why the Soviets set up ISIS. But the myth is, no, the CIA set up ISIS. No, it was the Russians. It was former leaders of Saddam Hussein's intelligence services and Muslims from Russian Muslims from Dagestan that set up ISIS. Al-Qaeda operatives were trained by Moscow. That was revealed by Alexander Litvinenko, who was later killed with thallium in a hospital. You know, he died in a hospital in London back in 2006. So the Soviets and the Russians have never changed their foreign policy towards Israel. They'll play nice, they'll be trying to be friends, but their goal is to destroy Israel, to make Iran the dominant hegemon and them the dominant hegemon in the region. They had Syria. They're very much involved in supporting the Lebanese against Israel. They had a lot of power in Egypt for a long time. But Israel's always been their number one target. And so now, but what saved Israel? The Christian, American Christians who believe that Israelis are God's chosen people, and the American conservatives who understood the geopolitical significance of Israel in the battle against the so-called evil Axis. Well, that is why also American Christians are now being turned against Israel. That is why you see the growth of British Israelism, which believes that, and the Khazarian mafia myth, with saying that the Jews of Israel are not really Jews. The real Jews are the white races of Europe. You know, the Saxons were Isaac's sons, the Danes were Dan's sons, etc. Or that the Ashkenazi Jews were just Turkic people who converted in the 11th century. And so they're not the real Jews of Palestine. All of these myths, which are not backed up by genetics at all, have been massively amplified by the Russians from Tsarist times to justify the pogroms. They were picked up again by the Nazis, and now they're being flooded into the West through thousands of bots and hundreds of websites controlled from St. Petersburg and Moscow, and pumped into the American conservative movement through QAnon and Zero Hedge and many other websites. And that's why I come back to my statement. If you want to know why the big upsurge in anti-Israeli and anti-Jewish feeling in America, it goes straight back to Russia, straight back 100%. And that's one of the main divisive points right now in the American conservative movement.
Well, Trevor, I got to go, but thank you so much for sharing all of this and spending time with us here at the Conversations That Matter podcast. I would encourage the audience, do your own research. Don't just listen to someone because they say things. Actually go dig into it. One of the reasons I appreciate Trevor is because he does dig, and you can follow his research by going to his website, trevorloudon.com. Anything you want to plug in addition to that, Trevor?
J.R. Nyquist. Go to jrnyquist.com. He's great. But yeah, there's not a lot of people talking about this, but I'll just say, I'm sure you'll get a few comments on this that may contradict what I have to say. And, but do your research. Everything I've said today, I can back up with documented evidence. And just think in the common sense terms, the great powers have always been battling. They've always tried to divide each other. But people say, you know, the CIA, KGB, when the CIA, a few years after the CIA was founded, they had 22,000 men, 22,000 people. The KGB had 1 million. Who do you think's better at worldwide propaganda? Who do you think are past masters of causing civil wars and stirring up dissent by exacerbating existing racial and cultural differences? That nobody can beat the Russians at that.
Well, with that, Trevor Loudon, God bless, and we'll connect again sometime soon, hopefully.
Love to, John. Always good, and best regards to you and your family, and it's great to catch up.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.